Well, it's Friday evening, and it's been a long week. It's the busy season at work, and everyone's nerves are frayed, and does it ever show? The teacher called again about the serious continuing misbehavior of your child. Taking care of your aging parents, taking care of your aging parents is requiring more and more of your time, and there is stress among the siblings about how it should be done. You're behind on bills, got a letter from the IRS, the doctor just gave you some bad news, a sudden and expensive car repair needed to be done, and the grind of life is wearing you down. But it's Friday evening. The rest of the family is off shopping, and that's just the way you want it for now. So on the way home, you stopped at the red box, you selected a movie, swiped your card, snagged your Blu-ray disc, and you headed home. Just you and your movie. It's all you want. At home, you pull together a quick snack and a drink, and you pop in the movie, and you find your remote to your 72-inch HD TV, and you plop down in your favorite chair, and you are all set to go. And after the opening credits, the movie begins with these beautiful panoramic scenes of mountains in majesty and with surround sound music that is equally grandiose, and you are whisked away to another time and another place as your problems begin to melt away. You just can't beat high def for the way it pulls you into the action. Today's reading from Revelation is like that Friday night movie. When you have taken a beating in this world, when worries and problems have taken their toll in your life, this vision of St. John whisks us away to another time and another place where all of the sorrows and the cares and concerns of this life are finally behind us, and where the music is majestic beyond anything that we could ever imagine or have ever heard, where the vision that meets our eyes has a vibrancy of color and of clarity that no HD TV could ever replicate. Let this vision in HD whisk you away right now. St. John records, "After this I looked, and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?' I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" This vision in HD was given to St. John, who, by the way, was having a bit of a rough time in his life too. He had been exiled to the island of Patmos just because of his Christian faith. Just because he followed the Good Shepherd, his freedom was taken away from him. But you can bet that John soon forgot about all of his earthly woes as this vision in HD begins to roll, and it whisks him away to another place, another time, even to the courts of heaven itself. The first scene opens in Revelation 1 with a voice like a trumpet that invites John to see what is yet to come. And suddenly there he is before the very throne of God, a sight that leaves him breathless, a vision of sparkling elegance, surrounded by the brilliance of this heavenly rainbow. It is hard to take it all in. One could easily miss the 24 elders who are there with their thrones and their crowns, but there they are. But then just like that, they're overpowered by the flashes of lightning and the peals of thunder directing our attention to the seven spirits of God appearing as blazing torches. And then just as suddenly, you are faced with these four living creatures whose likeness even Steven Spielberg would struggle to conjure. And these creatures are praising God, as the elders also bow down before the eternal throne, along with the angels, all lauding and magnifying God's magnificent glory. Are you lost in the vision yet? But how quickly the mood changes as John sees in God's hand a scroll with seven seals. This is the same scroll that the prophet Daniel saw. It reveals God's plan for the final days, the time of the Messiah between the birth of the Christ and his second coming. But there is no one in heaven or on earth who is worthy to break the seals of this scroll so that God's plan can be put into action. Must we now live forever in sin, oppressed by the pains and the sorrows and the injustices of this world and the scorching heat of our problems? Who will save and shepherd God's people? Or will we all be forced to wander aimlessly and eternally like lost sheep without a shepherd, as easy prey to the ravenous wolves of sin and death? Who will break the seals on this scroll so that God's plan may unfold for us? But fear not, for we are quickly comforted by the voice of one of the elders, who directs our attention to the long-predicted conquering hero, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is worthy to break those seals and to open up the scroll and to set into motion God's plan for the end of time. And we look, and behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is a lamb, the Lamb of God, who appears to have been slain, and yet who stands very much alive in our midst. And that lamb takes the scroll from the one who is on the throne, and the worship in heaven resumes. And we are surrounded by this magnificent, unrestrained melody of the four creatures and the elders and the angels as they all sing a new song. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And with a thunderous crescendo, they are joined by the whole host of heaven and of earth in rapturous praises of Jesus, God's Lamb, who alone is worthy to break those seals and to put into motion God's saving plan for us. And with the scroll in hand, the worthy one begins to break the seals one by one. And as he does so, the entire life of the New Testament church flashes before our eyes. As he breaks open the first four seals, we see that the life of the church is going to be marked by war and death and pestilence and economic chaos brought on by the four horsemen who wreak havoc in this world as well as in the lives of Christians. But then the fifth seal is broken. And on top of all the problems that are visited upon this world by the horsemen, now Christians will also face persecution, as evidenced in the lives of the martyrs who are under the altar, who cry out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, how long will this continue?" And then the sixth seal is broken, and creation collapses in on itself. And everyone from kings to commoners and the welfare recipients to the well-to-do are all trying to flee and to hide from the coming wrath. But all is not lost. For John is comforted again, and so are we. Those whom the Lord has chosen have been sealed unto salvation. Yes, they must walk through this valley of the shadow of death. But they know that in following their good shepherd, when they come through that valley, they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And they know that the day is fast approaching when we will join that white-robed church triumphant, worshiping and praising God, together with those four living creatures and those elders and the saints and the angels and all of our Christian loved ones who've gone before us in one vast symphony of joy. Who are they, these who are in white robes? The elder asks, and the movement stops suddenly. And John defers to the elder for the answer. And the elder says, "These are they who have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the ones who by faith followed their good shepherd and persevered in the midst of all that this fallen world could dish out. The good shepherd led them through all the consequences of sin, both the sins that they inflicted and the sins that they endured in this earthly pilgrimage, all the hatred, all the anger, all the broken relationships and the broken bodies, the lust, the greed, the hunger and the thirst, the injustices, the death, the tears. But the Lamb who shed His blood for our sins is also the Good Shepherd, who leads us the whole way through that valley until we emerge on the other side of death's shadowed valley, where this vision in high death becomes our new reality, and where all of our problems will just fade away into nothingness like the morning mist, and where the Lamb who spilled His blood for us will shepherd us to eternal springs and pastures in His glorious house. This vision in HD was brought to you by St. John, in the name of Jesus, for your comfort and your encouragement in the face of whatever the world is throwing at you right now. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.